Chapter 19. 10 months before the Emperor's murder. The first time the Saint of Duty tried to take your life, you did not anticipate it. If you had been a kernel less paranoid, a trifle less disturbed, you might have given Ianthe Tridentarius the pleasure of opening the note labelled, "Upon the death of Harrowhark Nona Jesimus." Your only hope for that note was that it contained a single sentence along the lines of, "Get what joy you can from my corpse, you devious bitch." But it was written by a previous self, and you could not risk a guess. It was only a few days into your internment within the Mithraeum. Ever since you disgraced yourself with Kithareia's midsection, you had avoided all social meals, and you tended to scavenge food as you passed through the bizarre space that everyone called the kitchen. It was a long, clean, barren room, where electric lights cast long shadows on pots and pans older than Dreaber, yet spared time's depredations. At this point, you had not yet figured out your exoskeleton, but had managed to fix a prototype bone scabbard to your lower back and spent most of the time limping around with it as though scoliotic. You had taken a portion of some kind of murky stew left warm on top of the stove, ravenous, not yet knowing what the Emperor would tell you later, that a lictor could persist perfectly well without food, but would not last long without water.
"Cyrus was half mummified before we worked that one out," he would go on to reminisce fondly.
Your mistake was not spiriting the food back to your rooms. Ianthe's room was not yet an option. In that first week, you were still numb. You were tired, you were hungry, and you sat down at the countertop to eat your tepid supper and had gotten through maybe 5 spoonfuls before the sword emerged from the middle of your chest. The aim for your pulmonic valve was unerring, but he had put himself at the mercy of your 3rd and 4th ribs. This was a mistake your assailant would never make again. Always your bosom friends, they unfurled for you then like the springtime. Thick ropes of costal cartilage burst from your breast to fix your assailant's sword in place. Your ribs became jaws, your sternum the neck of a spring. Your blood sprayed into your indifferent soup, and the rapier stuck fast. You wrestled yourself backward. Your phalanx bones burst through your fingertips like knives, and, too frightened for anything sophisticated, you raked blindly into the meat of the fatless and muscular thighs behind you. Your claws turfed up the meat of his hips and pelvis, but you had come to learn that Ortis the First did not respond to pain. He moved. You were dragged with him, off your stool, away from your blood-spattered soup, and you let his rapier go, dilating the bone so that he stumbled backward and you went forward, rolling over the countertop, spilling your bowl, dislodging pots and pans and causing a hell of a noise. A chip of bone floated near where the rapier had clipped your rib. You popped it out of yourself, and from that almost living bone sprang femurs, melted on either side into patella, into pelvis, into a skeleton seething with regrowing ash. You tore one of your construct's ribs from its cage before it hurled itself at the necrosaint, and the rib you wrenched free had enormous and generous give. The bubbly innards separated from the strong, compact cortex as though created for that very purpose. The centre for shape, the outside for strength. The hole crumbled in your palms when you squeezed. You were borne up by a current of bone, 20 sets of arms sprung from tubercles you had made sticky and thrust into the ground, enfolding you in an armoured nest of skeletal limbs. You marvelled at how easy it was. You barely had to think of it, and it would be done, at a cost you considered negligible. But your blood was pouring out fast, and something bad had happened to some relatively important muscles, and you had no time to do anything but cut the flow and save the damage for later. At that point, you took your first opportunity to really look at him. This was a fool's move. Why didn't you run? You chose to watch, as though you could learn anything. A less critical party might have pointed out that you'd had a surprise gift of 12 inches of steel through the chest and made your pecs spring the blade back out with your own ribcage. But you had never been party to excuses. You were startled by him all over again, by this ramshackle, burnt-out lictor, by the skin that clung to the skull, by that point-blank, stretched-thin face. Autus the First did not look as though he needed meat or even water. There was a strangely burnt look to his dark brown skin, a burnt or otherwise oxidized look, not assisted by that shaven cap of rust-coloured hair. You hung, poised, for a moment not sure if you were hallucinating the whole thing. That hesitation cost. From proto-skeletal dust you conjured five full constructs, five constructs only as good as you were, tired and hungry. They scrambled like huge spiders across the counter and went for him. The saint of duty shouldered his goddamned spear. That first time, you were absolutely affrighted. A spear. A spear for the offhand. He used the butt of his sword. It would be lying to say that you now regularly called it the pommel, to smash the first construct's skull to powder. The force was enormous. You tried to prop the skeletons back together from within your net, re-nobble the spine, mould it with ash as a second skull's mandible got flicked off into the stovetop. A third construct was beheaded with the spear, swung through the cervical vertebra. It became a shrapnel of bones. And for the last two, your killer lost patience. He sucked the thanergy from their bones, and it felt like a slap to your face. They disappeared into gritty puffs of bone smoke. At this point, you finally thought to run. More fool you. The nest of arms swung you around, prepared to be squeezed through the doorway. You shaped the net into a tight fretwork, springy, malleable. Although this was beautiful and worked a treat for mobility, you sacrificed resilience in the process. He threw his spear, almost casually, into this fretwork, and the net deformed fluidly on impact, and so it was through the bone that his spear point lodged into your large intestine. This sounded similar to a nail being rammed into a sausage. Your blood gushed like carbonated water. You tumbled through the doorway in a cascade of jostling, bouncing bits of bone, the scabbard jolting you roughly, rolling over and over until you lay bleeding at the feet of...
Autus, said Mercy Morn.
She did not sound horrified, but deeply peeved. Your vision swam, and you smelled hot toast.
What are you doing?
You curled on your side. The black haze was already starting to dim around your edges. You were not so apt with healing yourself back then. You heard,
Is she dead? Stay there, you idiot. Hands where I can see them. What were you thinking? Oh, he's going to be furious. You egg!
It seemed hateful to you that in death you should be treated like a prey animal some domestic predator had brought inside. You heard the saint of duty say in his flat, joyless voice,
I don't answer to you.
The spear was removed. You still remembered acutely what that felt like. In the midst of that sensation, quick, light fingertips tapped a symphony over your back, arresting the flow of blood, seizing your flesh, cutting off circulatory shock. It was only then that you really began to understand what Mercy Morn could do. With another fingertip, she tapped above your eyebrow, and your pituitary gland spewed out a flood of neuropeptides that immediately replaced the adrenaline squirting through your system. She was saying,
It's not fair of you to try to bump them off when we'd get in trouble for it. They can die well enough on their own, you toad. This one's all of 12 years old.
This was not close to accurate, even given your lie. But fine. He murmured something. She said back sharply.
Quick enough for anyone's satisfaction. Look, look, she can't even heal.
told him her integration had retarded, said she couldn't stanch, and I'm not cleaning up this place. You are. Yuck. There's bone in the grouting.
Ortus the First said, The Heralds will be here in 8 months.
I'm well aware of that, thanks, said Mercy. You go flip some planets to give us a fire break.
Ortus the First said, Now you're telling me my own job.
Oh, I hate you. I've always hated you, you dreary, repetitive leg, said Mercy Morn passionately.
And then you felt her thumb pressed down on your lower back and your gastrointestinal tract, so interrupted by Spearpoint, flushed, deep and warm, and you felt some of that twisting pain within you.
You could barely feel it anyway, you were so running with hormones.
It was the best you'd felt since before you'd gone to Kanan House. Then she said, more reasonably,
I know what you're doing, and it's not like I don't understand it, but if you'd wanted to smother the kittens, you could do it more cleanly by knocking her out and dropping her out the airlock.
She trailed off suggestively. The Saint of Duty said stonily,
I do things face to face.
I'm not trying to be cruel, she said cruelly, but that is what got you into trouble 19 years ago.
There were heavy footsteps on the tiles. You were rolled onto your back, where the scabbard made you roll backward and forward like a tortoise with a knobble on its shell. You were filled with a great sense of calm as the world rolled back into focus. It had been psychologically dreadful to see Mercy Morn tapping your chest and your midsection, mouth screwed up as though she were cleaning your vomit, but you were wrapped in a beautiful fug of oxytocin and did not care about other lictors, your assassination attempt, or anything much. It meant you could look up fearlessly and nervelessly into the eyes of Ortus. Ortus's face, stretched too tightly over its frame and locked into a long, lugubrious expression, had no reasonable relationship with his luminous green eyes, a soft, buttery green, less startling or harsh than the green of a shoot or the green of a leaf, but instead liquid and fluvial. The lictor, leaning over you, said warningly,
Don't you do a thing. I'll have to fight you. And I cannot begin to tell you how much I don't want to do that. Oh, why did I stop? She wailed. I should have kept walking. I hate reasonable culpability.
I want that sword, said Ortus the First.
What?
Give me her damned sword, said Ortus the First.
You've already got a whole complement of oversized weapons, greedy.
Even an overexcited pituitary gland could not mask the sharp shank of fear that sliced down the length of your heart. You tried to raise yourself up on your elbows before you wobbled weakly back down. You said hoarsely,
No, no, it's mine.
Mercy Morn lost her patience on an almost professional basis.
Oh, just get out of it, she said peevishly to Ortus. Leave the baby alone.
Before you could feel indebted to her, she added,
Next time, try this at night, when I'm sleeping. If I see you hurt her, I have to intervene, or Teacher will lose his nana.
The Saint of Duty looked down at you, sprawled so awkwardly in a pool of blood, free of the 2 new punctures he had given you in such a short space of time. He took his spear and shook it like a bedsheet, and the bone haft folded in on itself until it was no longer or thicker than a mace handle. This short, fat handle and spearhead he shoved into his belt. Then he sheathed his rapier, turned around, and left. His sister saint bawled after him,
I mean it! You clean this place up!
But he was already gone. She stood and smoothed out the front of her beautiful mother-of-pearl robe. The blood came off it in great gouts of reddish powder, dwindling to nothing, and she said, her placid face creased in complaint,
This place has
gone to the dogs. What did you say to make him try to kill you?
Nothing.
The hormones were beginning to cease their pleasant flow, but you were still preternaturally calm when you said,
I came in to get some food. I did not perceive his entrance. The first thing I knew of him was when he stabbed me.
Oh, then he just wants you dead, she said, with perfect unconcern.
Good luck.
Not.
That man is Teacher's attack dog. If he thinks you're a threat, then I would advise you to settle your affairs.
You stared up at the ceiling and noted the bone-strewn scrollwork between the frames of the panelling, all about the long planks of electric light. And you said,
But why does Autus the First want me dead?
Who?
Said Mercy Morn, indifferently.